T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
Dr. Avula, now that you are picked as the person to kind of manage the vaccine plan in the Commonwealth, which is an unenviable position, because I'm not sure how you do that and have everybody happy in the end. So you're kind of setting yourself up for hostility. Hopefully in the end, everybody will be okay. Where do things stand today? And let's just take the next 7 days. Like, if I talk to you next Tuesday, what will transpire over the course of the next 7 days? And how will that be different from the last couple of weeks?
Yeah, thanks, John. It's certainly been a whirlwind of a week as I've stepped into this new role. And, you know, I think what I've spent my time doing is figuring out, where we are, what the distribution pathways have looked like. And I think in the first few weeks of vaccine delivery, the vast majority of vaccine went to hospitals. You know, it's where most of our healthcare workers are. It's why they were prioritized. But what that created was kind of a bottleneck of access for many other individuals, and particularly now that some communities are moving to 1B, we have really got to press into finding access points for other eligible individuals. So what I see happening over this next week is a real focus on getting vaccine to pharmacies, to private providers, to building more and more of that capacity. I see vaccine continuing to go to health departments and large scale events scaling up. We've seen that in Northern Virginia, where they're doing multiple thousand person events multiple times a week. Here in Richmond, we're doing almost 1,000 person event today. And so, you know, I think the capacity to get vaccine out quickly is growing everywhere. And I see that just continuing to happen. So through providers, through pharmacies, and through large scale events.
Yeah, it's similar to what you just went through with the testing. You know, when we first started this pandemic, the testing access was an issue. And now, over the last couple of months, I've had a few occasions where I thought I'd been exposed to something, or I knew I had to be around senior citizens, and I just went across the street to the CVS near me and alternately did the rapid test and the mail-in test, and that was very helpful so that I didn't accidentally expose someone if I had been exposed, turned out to be negative. What are the impediments here, though? Is it convincing CVS that now they should shift their entire medical operation, which is pretty limited, to doing these inoculations? Is it transporting the vaccine and making sure it's stored in these special refrigerators? I mean, what are the practical logistical problems you're running into?
I'd say the biggest one are the constraints that have been presented in terms of administrating where the vaccine can go. So, for example, providers have had to submit an application to the CDC to be an approved site for vaccination. Now, you know, because so much was moving so quickly, as it has been the case at different times, you know, the entire system is building the plane as they're flying it. Yeah. That CDC system was a bit of a black hole initially. So a lot of providers put their applications in a month ago, never heard anything, never got any feedback, and didn't know when they were approved. But when we checked the listings this past week, you know, almost 1,000 providers across the state are now approved places to receive vaccine. And so some of it was just smoothing out the CDC process. Some of it was using the technology that we've been given to schedule vaccine. But then a large part of it is still vaccine availability. Now, we prioritized the hospitals about we anticipated, the vaccine that was allocated to health systems accounted for close to 100% of their staff. And the fact of the matter is that not 100% of hospital staff were ready to get the vaccine, just personally, right? They didn't sign up in that first round.
Because they were worried, you think?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I think there's obviously a great deal of vaccine hesitancy, less so among physicians. But that's not the only group that was prioritized for vaccine. Anybody in a hospital, whether you work in the dietary staff or the janitorial staff or a nurse, there was a good bit of hesitancy across the board. And so what I'm hearing from health systems is about 50-60% of their staff went through in the first round. Many of them are actually going through and getting their second dose this past week and this week. But what they're seeing is that a lot of those folks who were hesitant at the beginning have watched their colleagues get vaccinated, have seen that nothing bad happen, and so they're encouraged. So then they are now lining up for their first doses. And so, I think it's right and important that the health systems were prioritized. It's gone a little slower, obviously, than we had hoped. But I think they will continue to press into. We'll get higher numbers of uptake in hospital staff. And then this week and moving forward, as vaccine availability from the national level gets increases, we'll be able to prioritize private providers and pharmacies and really get it out to the public.
Now, at that point, though, you've got a problem with, how do I put this politely, people who think more of themselves than perhaps they should, who will show up and say, you damn well better give me the vaccine.
Yeah.
Now, I went to your website knowing that we were going to talk this morning to try to kind of walk through the process that you've got online where people can determine where they are in the pecking order for the vaccine. And, I'm pleased to see you're taking care of healthcare workers, you're taking care of senior citizens, and then it gets to someone like me who's 50 years old, in decent health, I think, and, relatively isolated from the general population. I'm not standing there checking people out at Food Lion across the street. But I can imagine as this thing drags on, and if some of these companies start saying, I'm sorry, you have to have a vaccine before you can engage with us like you used to, that people are going to be ticked off and say, well, wait a minute, now I'm getting shafted here. So how do you anticipate? I think that's a reasonable thing to anticipate as a problem. Do you just think capacity is going to increase enough where that won't be an issue? Or
no, I think it'll definitely be an issue. I mean, anytime there's a scarce resource, you're going to have that dynamic emerging. And, we just have to grow capacity. But remember that there's a constraint in production. And so one of the things that hopefully will change that in the near term, there was just an announcement from the federal government that they've been holding back the reserve second doses. Because remember, this vaccine is a two-dose vaccine. And so the federal government had been holding a reserve to make sure that everybody who got a first dose can also get a second dose. I think what they've seen now is that there's enough faith in the production system from Pfizer and Moderna that they're going to go ahead and release that those reserves to allow many more first doses to come, into states. And so I think in the short term, we will see an expansion of vaccine that's available. And then as production keeps up, we're just going to keep building capacity. So as I said, about 1,000 providers across Virginia have now been approved, almost 170 or so. I hadn't checked the numbers today, but as of yesterday, about 170 pharmacies had come on board out of the 380 or so pharmacies in Virginia. So, we're progressing towards having more and more outlets for vaccine. And, 1B, where Northern Virginia and Southwest Virginia have moved into, are large groups. And so a lot of the focused work that's going to be happening by health departments, by pharmacies and providers is is closed pods, targeted points of dispensing for the people in that group. So health departments are working with their local governments to ensure that police and fire are getting vaccinated right now. Pretty soon there will be large-scale clinics for teachers and other school staff as we work through that 1B. Now, there's also a portal for individuals who don't fall into one of those categories. So, for example, if you're 75 or over, anybody can go into that portal that you were just describing on the VDH website, and they will be assigned a prioritization category. And then that information is doled out to the districts, and the districts will assign individuals to a clinic based on their priority group. It's the massive undertaking. I won't deny that. We just need to scale up and build as much capacity as quickly as possible. Thankfully, you know, everybody is asking, how can we be helpful? You know, we've got provider groups who are saying, hey, our staff can come out and do a day-long vaccination clinic. And so I think we will see both more capacity in those provider groups and pharmacies, but also a real scaling up once vaccine becomes more available of large scale vaccination points where people can go. And all of that will be on the VDH website. And obviously we'll rely heavily on our traditional and social media to get the word out.
Well, I appreciate you coming on the radio to walk us through it. I hope the people who have expressed to me, oh my gosh, the Northern Virginia crowd is going to beat out the rabble. You know, they feel like people south of Fredericksburg are treated as lesser than when it comes to Virginians. Mm-hmm. The Northern Virginians will remember that you run the health department in the city of Richmond and in RICO, and it will take some confidence in being treated fairly with that and the fact that you're willing to come on the radio and talk about it. Dr. Danny Avula, who's in charge of the vaccine rollout now. Appreciate it very much. Please stay in touch.
Thanks, John.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.